We have to speak on the common faith, and we have to speak what unites us, not what separates us. Because what unites us is 90%, and 10% is what separates us. And we should invest in this 90%, and we should, you know, invest a revived spirituality in our people with the 90% which we have together. I mean, we have Christ, and for me, Christ, it's enough for all of us to be joined together. And for me, that's what I'm really trying to, because we have to say Christ unites us and calls us for witness. And that is what I'm calling all the churches to do together. And we have to do it with all the difficulties and obstacles we face sometimes.
You came recently to the Vatican to meet with Pope Benedict as representative of the Lutheran World Federation. Tell us a little bit about your conversation. You were looking ahead, weren't you, to the anniversary of the Reformation, but also talking about practical issues around Eucharistic hospitality.
Yes. First of all, I'm really thankful that since the Second Vatican, the relationship between the Lutheran World Federation and the Vatican has been a dialogical one. And we have tackled the most difficult point, which was justification by faith. And in 1999, we signed a joint declaration on justification by faith. For me, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Had we got to know it 500 years, I don't think we'd have been separated. We could have been one church, one strong church. Anyhow, we cannot now blame history. We have now to look what is our call. Secondly, I have raised the issue that we are working in the world together on many diaconical issues. And I asked even on issues of justice. For example, the illegitimate debt, we have raised it with the Pope. We have to work together because I think illegitimate debt is not Catholic or Lutheran. It touches the human being. We spoke on Jerusalem, and Jerusalem must be shared between the two nations, Palestinians and Israelis, and the three religions, Jews, Muslims, and Christians. And we spoke on the Christians in the Middle East, and I asked him that it is time that we don't have only the Catholics dealing with the Christians in the Middle East, but we can have a concerted effort. And I believe that World Council of Churches should also hold a similar conference on Christians in the Middle East, and together with the Vatican, find a common strategy. You know, how can we work together for Christians in the Middle East to stabilize them in their faith, in their existence?
Pope John Paul was very keen on the idea of calling a conference of all Christian leaders here in Jerusalem, wasn't he? Is there any possibility of that happening in the near future?
Well, of course, I would welcome to call in Jerusalem, but I don't want to come to Jerusalem and give it too much political, you know, clout and then lose the real meaning of the witness of the Christian church. I'm ready to meet anywhere for the sake of the subject, because when you come to Jerusalem at these moments, it becomes too political and many sides try to pull their own strings. And I'm not for that at the moment, because I want the issue of Christians in the Middle East, because there are many Christians at risk. Thank God here in Palestine and Jordan and Israel, we are not persecuted neither by Jews nor by Muslims. And we are living, we have a very good relationship, you know, with the other religions. And we know how to live together because we have learned the art of dialogue and the art of coexistence with the other, you see. Now, with the Pope, of course, I also discussed two other issues. One is the ecumenical hospitality. Of course, when I was there as a president of the Lutheran Federation, I'm representing the 70 million. I'm not representing myself. And in certain areas, when there are mixed marriages, there are, of course, sometimes problems that can they commune and where they commune. And sometimes one of them is denied to commune because he belongs to the different, you know, denomination. And we are asking that at least we can have, you know, maybe we cannot concelebrate in the next 10 years, but at least we can offer Catholics and Lutherans together, you know, an ecumenic and Eucharistic hospitality for pastoral reasons, because the Holy Communion, after all, is not Catholic nor Lutheran, it's Christ's. And as long as it's Christ's real presence is there, I think we want our families to enjoy that spirituality, whoever is the celebrant. And for me, because for me, the celebrant himself is Jesus Christ and not me. And for me, I'm offering that thing. The second issue I offered, we offered as a Lutheran Federation, is 2017. We are going to celebrate in 2017 the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And of course, when we celebrate it, we cannot celebrate it without the Catholics. We don't want to celebrate it in a triumphant way, because we want to celebrate it, what Reformation has done to Europe. I think Europe is what Europe is today because of the Reformation. All of us, you know, agree on that, you know, even the Catholics. But at the same time, we have also to see the mistakes that were in both churches during the Reformation. But at the same time, we have to see, to speak on the ecumenical relations in the last 50 years, how much it developed, you see. And in the last 50 years, I think we had a very good, you know, dialogue. And even we are discussing issues like the apostolicity of the church at the moment, the authority of the Pope. I mean, before we didn't dialogue on it, but we are dialoguing about the ministry. Can we accept each other's ministry? And for me, you know, as long as we are dialoguing, and as long as we celebrate, at least we are dialoguing, I see that the Holy Spirit is working. And I was very, you know, touched that His Holiness Pope Benedict XVI, you know, responds positively that we should really in 2000 celebrate it together. And at the same time, that at least we should have a common statement together, Lutherans and Catholics. If we can do it in 2017, that I'm leading the Federation right until 2017, to the Reformation anniversary, it will be a strong witness for us in the world. And I think ecumenically, I feel it will be a milestone to invite other churches to do like us. You see? And we Lutherans are open. We are open to see if we have made mistakes. We don't blame always the other. We blame ourselves. If you are a good Lutheran, you blame only first yourself before you blame others, you see. But, you know, last summer in our assembly in Stuttgart, we have confessed our sins for the violence we have done against our Mennonite brothers and sisters, who are called the Anabaptists in history. And I think this we have done, also Catholics in Germany have done it. All of us have been, you know, guilty. And we confessed our sins. And because we confessed our sins and we asked for forgiveness. And I think, you know, this power of forgiveness must be the power of ecumenism and ecumenical life. It should lead us wherever I am mistaken. I am ready to confess my sins, not only to Christ, my Lord and Savior, but also to my sister and brother whom I've hurt. I'm ready to confess for the sake of Christ and for the sake of our baptism, because in baptism we are the children of Christ. And if we take it seriously, I think baptism also has the power of forgiveness. And I think we as churches have always to live in this power of forgiveness.
You're talking about joint statements, but beyond the statement, would you agree there's a need for very concrete symbols that people can understand? We have a lot of joint statements. It's difficult sometimes for those sentiments to reach people.
Exactly. I think, you know, we have our joint Lutheran Catholic Commission, which is meeting once a year, and they met last year in Regensburg some months ago. They are going to see what statement they would develop and what other projects we can do together. So it's really, for me, it's premature to tell you what are the projects, because I'm depending on what this commission will come up. But I think the most important thing from our side, from my side, and from the Pope's side, that we have the willingness to do it. And this willingness for me is a touch of the Holy Spirit.
That was Munib Younan, president of the World Lutheran Federation, talking to Philippa Hitchin.